was led to Golgotha on the outskirts of town. There nailed to a rugged cross as his mockers gathered round. The sky spoke like thunder when he finally bowed his head. He who had given life now hung there dead. Then his mom and some friends came to carry him away. They were trying to speak through a broken heart, but only tears could say. The sunset cast no shadow on the world's darkest day, and with one last look, they laid him in the grave. But I talked to him today, and my cares all fell away. He made me feel like life had just begun. He said all of my trials can be turned into triumph through the victory that he's already won. And I talked to him today, and the comfort that he gave filled me with desire to tell the world that on Calvary he died, but right now he is alive. I know because I talked to him today. Mary Magdalene came breathless to the place where Peter lay. He was searching through his broken heart, trying to find the faith to pray. But as he heard her joyful story, his sorrow could not stay, and his hope sprang out through the words he heard her say. She said, I talked to him today, and my cares all fell away. He made me feel like life had just begun. He said all of my trials can be turned into triumph through the victory that he's already won. And I talked to him today, and the comfort that he gave filled me with desire to tell the world that on Calvary he died, but right now he is alive. I know because I talked to him today. That on Calvary he died, but right now he is alive. I know because I talked to him today.
Thank you for that. Let's stand briefly as we read the scripture this morning. Acts chapter 2. Excuse me. Acts chapter 2. We'll read verses 41 to 47. Thank you for being here. And I do want to mention, as you're turning to the scripture, Acts chapter 2, verse 41, if you're newer here or you're visiting with us, you say you're talking about money. I knew that's all churches talk about. Let me just say, yes, it's true. No, that's not what we talk about all the time. It's just that right now, so you understand, we're in a building campaign trying to get the building done. Say, well, where do you get the money from that? We all pitch in. Okay, it's our building, it's our church, and our church members, and so if it's going to be built, we're the ones that do it. So we're just praying and encouraging our church family as we are looking at this campaign. So if you're new, we're not putting pressure on you, unless you're a millionaire looking for a tax write-off. Come see me, I can help you with that, okay? You have, what is today, the 10th? You have until Friday, and then you can get that tax break, so... But thank you for being here. I just want you to understand that as we are in that right now. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. And they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And let's pray. Father, we do thank you again for loving us. Bless our short time we have this morning. Speak to our hearts in this specific area. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I will not be long. I know we started a couple minutes late. We have a few extra testimonies, but the message is important. I do believe when it comes to the message, I have always believed to be effective, you don't have to be eternal, okay? And so I'll talk fast, you listen fast, but I want you to get this morning. Last week, we started a little series on what I am calling I Love Church. And we have our I Love Sunday School campaign, trying to encourage people to come to Sunday school. But I Love Church. As I mentioned last week, and I'm not going to belabor it, I did not grow up in church. I was not a Christian growing up. It was after I was out of high school. I became a Christian in my high school years. I still had some issues in my life, and I got into church about 17 or 18 years old as a new Christian, and it helped me immensely. And so I love church. I realized there was more to church than there was more to Christianity than just being saved. God wanted to work on my life, and one of the things he did to help me was being a part of church. Church, in some instances, can be targeted and people criticize it, but not me. I love church. I always have. By the way, church is God's idea. The verses we read were the same ones we looked at last week about church. We see that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people received Christ, immediately were baptized, and then they were added unto them. Who? The believers there that were the church. And they became part of the church. And we saw last week all the things that it helped them in their life and their faithfulness. Last week, we spoke for a few minutes on how to enjoy church or why I enjoy church. As I guess we're going through the series, some of it, as I'm thinking back about how church helped my life, there are several areas that it really helped me. The area I want to speak about this morning is one of the vital areas. Coming to church and growing as I did when I was in church helped me to learn how to make good decisions. It helped me to avoid making bad decisions. And to be real honest with you, up until that time in my life, I had made nothing but really a string of bad decisions. Bad decisions. God wants us to make good decisions. By the way, we make decisions all the time. Some are not as serious as others. What am I going to wear today? Clothes. That's an easy one. Where am I going to eat after church? That's not a big deal. It's not life-threatening unless you eat at McDonald's. That's bad. But that's not a big decision, okay? Some are a little bit more serious. Who am I going to marry? By the way, if you're already married, that's the decision that you made, okay? Say, well, that wasn't a good decision. Don't tell your spouse that. Go with it. Make it work. But who am I going to marry? What does God want me to do with my life? Those are some serious decisions. And then some of the decisions we make upon the path of life that can either take us to the right or can take us to the left or can just really be bad or be good. I think back about some of the important decisions I made that determined the direction of my life as some of the decisions you have made have determined the direction of your life. By the way, I'm glad I made a decision to go off to Indiana and go to Bible college. My pastor suggested I do that. And I'm like, brother, I didn't even finish high school, okay? You're going to send me off to college? But I listened to his suggestion, and I went off to Bible college. By the way, I'm glad I went to Bible college. Say, what did you get, a degree? No, I got something better. I got my wife, okay? And I would have never met her, I hope she heard that because I could really use some brownie points this morning. But because it was not good at the house. Just kidding. But, I would never have met her had I not went off to Bible college. And she would never have met me. That would have been tragic for her. And I'm glad. Look, we were in Florida helping to start a church. And to be honest with you, some things were not going well there. And I felt God and wanted me to come back to California. And I'm glad I did that. I came back to California a few months later. God led me to be a part of planning this church here with Pastor Esposito. I'm glad I came back. I would never have been a part of what's going on here and been able to be here these last 28 years. So decisions have consequences, and they help us in our life. And so as I look at that, I just thought through it. I'm going to give them to you briefly, some things that will help us to make good decisions, or really, let's flip it around. Here are some things that will help you to make a bad decision, or sometimes instrumental in us making a bad decision instead of a good decision. And so let's look at them. I'm just going to be all over the map. I'm going to give them to you this morning, and I want you to think about them because decisions are vitally important. How do we make a bad decision? When should we not make a decision? Be careful about making a decision. Number one, when we are not regularly in the Bible. Okay, there's a lot of verses, and we don't have a lot of time, so I'll give you the references, and I'll read them to you. You can write them down and look at them later. Psalm 119, 105 says this, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." In other words, God's word shows us, and it gives two analogies there. One of them is the short term, and then also the long term steps we are to take. The Bible gives us principles that help us to make right decisions. And if we're not in the Bible and we don't have those principles, the odds of us making a bad decision are amplified. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light." You ever walk in the dark and you run into something? Our room, and it's not even with the light on, it's a little cramped in there where we have our bed, and I don't know how many times I'm walking around the bed, and I hit my foot on that corner, and it hurts every single time. It hurts bad, and now it's just to the point I'm like, am I just dumb or what? I know it's there. I run into it about once a week. At least the light's on, so I can't even blame that. But, you're in the dark. I remember we were at the... We went up to the pastor's conference. I think I was with, we were in Lancaster, and I was in a room with a couple of my daughters. I had to use the restroom in the middle of the night, and I don't know why they did this. They have two doors. One's a restroom, one's a closet, and the light was out. And I opened the door. I'm like, someone's standing there. I can see him in the dark. And then I realized that's not the bathroom. That's the ironing board. I'm like, wrong door. So, I go into this. The light was out. I couldn't see. Say, boy, you're dumb. I know, I am. Pray for me. But when we have light, it's easier to see where you're going. And not only that, it's easier to see where you should go. When we're not in the Bible and we don't have God's word and we're not understanding his principles, we're going to make a lot of bad decisions. But on the flip side, when we are in the word of God and we know his principles, it helps us to make right decisions. That's a foundational principle. That's why I said when we started this year, 2016, with our theme, Explore the Book, I said 90% of your problems will go away if you will regularly and faithfully get into God's word. Because we're understanding what God is saying, and the things that life that come our way, we have to make decisions. We will have God's mind because God's word is in our mind. And we'll make the right decisions. We don't want to make bad decisions. All right, let me give this illustration. We'll move on. I remember, by the way, when I went to Bible college, the only reason I went is because my pastor told me to go. He didn't tell me how long I should stay. And I was a California kid. And that first winter, Brother Pineda, it was 81 below zero at the wind chill factor. Now, what I didn't like is the guy on the radio said, hey, the weather outside today is a life-threatening 81 below zero. And I'm thinking in California, it's 81 degrees, period. Okay, what am I doing here? But I remember I was struggling a little bit, you know, and school wasn't my thing, by the way, because I didn't really go to school in high school, and I was kind of struggling with the whole thing. I didn't feel, you know, I was only there for the, and I remember one night we were going to work, and it was snowing, and I'm not used to that, and our car broke down, and we're stuck in the middle of nowhere, no cell phones, we're walking in the freezing cold at 2 or 3 in the morning, and we had to call work, and the boss is threatening to fire us, and we had to hitchhike home in the snow in the middle of the night, and I got back to my dorm at 4 in the morning, and I'm like, this is dumb. What am I doing here? And I'm like, you know what? This isn't for me. I'm going home. I don't need to be here. And I was okay with it. Now, of course, I had a habit. I always read a proverb every day. So I laid down in my bed about 4 in the morning. I thought I couldn't sleep. I thought, let me read my proverbs for the day. And then I'll go to sleep. And I kid you, I open it up, I read it, and I read this verse. If thou faintest in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. And I'm like, let me get that one more time. If thou faintest, and I thought to myself, what is faintest in the day of adversity? Quit when you had to hitchhike home in the middle of the night in the snow. Thy strength is small, you're weak. Now, you tell a guy that, he doesn't like that. Say, if you quit, you're weak. And I'm like, I'm not going to weak. And I'm like, you know what? I'll stick it out. By the way, as I mentioned before, that's where I found my wife. Okay, I'm sorry, that's where she found me. She was the one that was looking because I had them all lined up. Now, they were lined up behind somebody else, but they were lined up. Okay. But listen, the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying if you have a decision, you just, you know, you open the Bible and put your thumb down. Okay, I got a decision. What do I do? And Judas went and hanged himself. That's not what you want. But I'm just saying, we're in the Bible. And you'll learn principles and you'll learn things that when you're making a decision will say, this is the right decision to make, and this is why from God's word. So we are not regularly in the Bible, and I must hurry. Next, we are not, how can we make a bad decision? We are not completely committed to God in the decision. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. I love these verses. They're very good. Of course, the whole Bible is good, but I love these. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, not a little bit, all of it, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Amen. You know what God is saying? If we'll just be committed to him 100%, and we will follow him and trust in him, God leads us down the right path. But see, there's that one little phrase we don't like. Lean not unto thine own understanding. We struggle with that. Because there's something inherent in humans, we like to be in control. Say, how do you know that? Because I like to be in control. And something about God that says, you're not in control. And God has a way sometimes of just stirring the pot to let us know, you know what? You're not in control. You've got to trust in me 100%. But if we're not committed to God to trust in him 100%, we'll try to take things into our own hands sometimes. And we'll try to make our own decisions. And what happens is, that's not good. Hey, let's be 100% committed to trusting in the Lord. Do you understand God has what's best for you in mind? Sometimes we misunderstand that, right? We think God is just kind of out there and he's not really interested in my life. Do you know he's strongly interested in you? And God does love you. And if you're his child, he wants what's best for you. So if we'll trust in him and we'll do these things, he'll show us what direction we're supposed to take. We'll know what decisions we are supposed to make. If not, we try to figure it out ourselves. It reminds me of Abraham. God came to Abraham and said, I'm going to make of you a great nation, and you're going to have a son, and your son will have more descendants than the stars in the sky. And he waited, and he waited, and he started to get old, and he looked at his wife, and she was 99. I thought we had a child old when my wife was 40 when we had our last child. 99, no children. And you know what? They got a little bit schizoid there, a little bit before that. And Sarah's like, there's the maid Hagar. You go have a child with her, and that'll be our child. And, you know, Abraham probably looked there and said, but she doesn't look, okay, good idea, let's do that. By the way, that didn't turn out very well. It didn't turn out good at all. In fact, Sarah's like, that was a bad idea. That's your fault. It's like, it's your fault. It was your idea, sister. Okay? That's what we do sometimes. We try to take things into our own hand. See? Because God had said, you and Sarah are going to have a child. And he finally trusted God. They had the heir. And that happened just as God said. Let's trust the Lord and be committed to him. Another way we make a bad decision is we're not willing to get counsel about it. Proverbs 11:4 says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Proverbs 24:6, for by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war. And in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Now, if you're a member of our church, you've been here for a while, you kind of know how I feel about counseling. I think most of the time we come to counsel with somebody, it's a waste of time, Brother Pineda. If we would just read our Bibles and be what we're supposed to be. But sometimes there are big decisions. Sometimes there are steps. And by the way, if you come talk to, I'm not God, I'm not telling you what to do. But sometimes you need to bring something to somebody to say, am I missing something here? Is there something I'm not seeing? Just to help you to have all the facts. Okay? By the way, I will say this. Sometimes we don't want to go for counsels because we don't want to have someone upset our plans. Now, when I moved to Florida, which was a bad move, Pastor Pichardo, I had already decided to go, and I didn't ask counsel, Brother Pineda, and that was a long year. That was a really long year. It was a bad year. And we moved down there, and I thought it was the right thing to do, you know. I didn't ask counsel. Well, someone told me, said, you know, you ought to talk to Brother Black because I already know Brother Black. He's all for it. That was my home pastor. So I thought, by the way, my truck was already loaded. We were gone. I mean, I rented a truck, and literally the stuff we were taking to Florida was in the truck. We were out of the apartment. But I thought, I'm going to get his stamp of approval on it, then I'll feel better. And I called him. I said, Brother Black, here's what we're going to do. And I said, what do you think? As I sat there looking at my U-Haul. And he said, now let me get this straight. You're going to do this, you're going to do this, and you're going to do this. I said, yeah, what do you think? He goes, Steve, that's a bad move. I'm like, thanks for your consideration. Now, I still moved. I probably should have talked to him before that. Okay. But you know what I wanted? I wanted, you know, stamp of approval. Boom. And by the way, it would have saved me a lot of grief. Yeah. Now, it did get me to here, so I understand that God used it in a way. But sometimes if you're making a big decision, why don't you find someone you trust that's godly that maybe would point out some things maybe you're not thinking about? Maybe can share some biblical principles you don't know. I'm not saying every decision, because decisions come sometimes. We got to make a quick decision. I'm saying if you're doing something big, you might want to run it by somebody. We're not willing to get counsel about it. Well, you know, when you're buying a house or something, you know, I talk to someone that's reputable, that knows about it. We do that all the time, right? Our car's messed up, and we think we can fix it, but we want to talk to someone that knows a little bit about that to make sure we're doing the right thing. Sometimes we need to do that in life. Next. Another way we can make a bad decision is we follow the wrong counsel. We follow the wrong counsel. Let me read a couple of verses from 1 Kings chapter 12. This is King Rehoboam. Saul was the first king. He was succeeded by David and then by Solomon. Solomon started doing bad towards the end of his life, so his son Rehoboam took over. The kingdom was going to split. Solomon was very, very rough to the people towards the end of his life because he actually got away from God. And the people came to Rehoboam and said, now listen, your dad caused us a lot of grief. If you'll just lay off us a little bit, we'll serve you. Well, what did he do? Verse 6 of 1 Kings 12. King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon, his father, while he lived, and said, how do you advise I answer this people? And they spake, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people, thou wilt serve them and answer them and speak good words, they'll be your servants forever. That was good counsel. He said, listen, if you'll just lay off because your dad was away from God and was being rough, just lay off a little bit. Let them know that you have their welfare at heart. They'll serve you forever. Verse 8, but he forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, which stood before him, his buddies, his peers. By the way, and I was going to be nice this morning. You young kids, you teenagers and you singles, your friends don't know anything. They know, I'm not trying to be mean here, but take it in the spirit in which it's given. They look at, the older I get, and I'm not old. Thank you. The older I get, though, the more I realize when I was younger, I knew less. I thought I knew everything. And the older I get, it's like, man, I was a knucklehead. I got the world by, I had the world by nothing. Now, thank God I knew some things, but I'm like, the older I get, I'm like, I could have avoided a lot of stuff. Okay, listen, you talk to your young peers, you know, what I do about, oh, let me tell you what I'm going to do. Listen, you're 21, you might want to get a job. Okay, come on. But he went with his buddies, and they're like, oh, man, show them you're tough. Let them know that, yeah, your dad is a wimp compared to you. You know what happened? There was 12 tribes. 10 of them said, that's how you're going to be. See you later. They got themselves a new king. Okay? So the only thing worse than not getting counsel is getting counsel from the wrong people. You know, it's like I've mentioned before, you sit in a break room and here's a guy saying, man, I'm having trouble with my old lady. By the way, maybe if you're calling her old lady, that's why you're having trouble with her. That's free. But, you know, I'm having trouble. And this guy's like, let me tell you how I handled my 3 wives. Yeah. I'm having trouble with my son. Well, listen, before my son went to jail, here's what I told him. That's not a good thing. Okay. Let's get counsel from people that are going to be a little ahead of us and be careful about. And I'm not saying your peers. We have some, and there's young people that they are very intelligent. You know, they have some spiritual sense. I understand that. But let's make sure that it's from the right kind of people. We listen to people sometimes, and we shouldn't. There's a guy named Amnon. That was David's son. David's son, for some reason, loved his half-sister. He just thought she was beautiful, and it was just something in his mind. He wasn't going to do anything, but he had a friend named Jonadab. And Jonadab gave him a horrible plan. He followed the plan, raped his sister, and it wreaked havoc in their family. It cost him his life. It ruined Tamar's life. It ended up costing Absalom his life. It cost David the kingdom for a while, on and on and on and on, because he got counsel from the wrong person. So let's be very careful. Next, another way we make problems for ourselves is we make a decision when we know we're violating a clear command of God. Clear command. Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Here's how it works. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai. God came to Jonah and said something. Here's what he said. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. He goes, you go and let them know that they are in big trouble. Jonah didn't like them. So here's what he did. But, whenever you hear the word but, that's a bad sign. Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. You know what Jonah said? I feel led of God to go somewhere else. He didn't want to do it. And by the way, where did he end up? He ended up in the belly of a fish. Okay? Then he ended up vomited on dry land. By the way, it's funny. After he got vomited on dry land, he felt God's calling to go to Nineveh. He shouldn't have had to go through all of that. Let me say this. If God's word says something, we don't have to debate whether or not we're going to follow it. We don't. We don't. Okay? Sometimes people, you know, they'll come and say, you know, I'm going to make this decision. I prayed about this, and this is what God wants me to do. And it's a clear violation of the Bible. You don't need to pray about that. Yeah. Okay? If God wrote it, he's going to say, oh, you know what? My bad. I made a mistake. Let me erase that. Okay? So that's why it goes back to that very first step. If we know the Bible, we'll kind of know the things we're supposed to do, right? But if we do know the things we're supposed to do, let's make sure and be very clear that we do follow what God wants us to do. You say, but that's hard sometimes. That's where it goes back to one of the other points. Let's be completely committed and trusting in God. Because I'll be honest with you, some of the things God says in the Bible are kind of like, huh? And I've, you know, when I was a new Christian sitting in church and I'd hear something like, what? Really? That's in the Bible? It is. It went against everything inside of me, but I had to say, you know what? I'm going to trust the Lord that he knows what's best, so I'll go ahead and follow that. Let's make sure we're doing that. Next, how else do we get ourselves in trouble? We are not praying about it patiently. We're not praying about it patiently. If we're making a decision, some life-altering decision, and it's not clear in Scripture, and we're trying to work things through, let's make sure that we are praying about it. Let's make sure we bring, you know, it's better to make a decision a little bit late and make the right decision than to hop on something that's wrong right away. I try never to make a decision that would affect my life if there's pressure. It's kind of like, how many people have went out to buy a car, and you go to buy a car, and you know what your budget is, you know the type of car you want to get to stay in that budget. The salesman, he knows he's going to show you something that's more expensive, and he's going to push you, and you walk out the door and like, that's really going to stretch our budget. He talked you into it. I don't do that. When I buy a car from somebody, I'm not, show me the car and I'll deal with you in a couple weeks. Leave me alone. I'm going to figure it out on my own. People just try to pressure you. And sometimes the pressures of life can come and we'll make a decision when we don't really have to make it right then. I've heard people say they've made bad decisions. They'll say, but you know, I just had to do something. Really, you didn't have to do something. You could have waited. Or maybe if you had to do something, it was a little bit quicker. That's where you step into the council and make sure that you're not just running off. But pray about it. Let's be patient. The disciples there, when Jesus was with them, and Jesus was getting ready to be crucified, they all promised they would be with him, and they're going to die with him. They couldn't even stay awake. And Jesus said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But I have a good spirit about it. And that may be true, but you know, our flesh is weak, and sometimes our flesh, not our spirit, drives the bus. That's why we need to be patient and pray about it. How else do we make a bad decision? We only consider what we think is right. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is a way, Proverbs 16:25. It's so important, he mentioned it again, almost verbatim. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. See, we live in this macho American society where like, brother, I don't need anything. I'll figure this out on my own. How many times, look, if we're trying to figure out things on our own, we don't see everything. We don't know everything. It's like you think of Adam and Eve. They made decisions based on their senses. She knew God said don't eat the fruit, but she looked at it. It looks good. It's pleasant. It looks good to the eyes. It's a tree that you desire, and it'll make me wise. And so she's making a decision based on all these outward stimuli. And all her senses and everything's involved, and it looked good to her, and it doomed mankind to sin. Because it wasn't what it was promised to be. But it seemed right to her. Sometimes what we think is right is not always right. And by the way, that's our pride, isn't it? I'll figure it out. Listen, the best thing you need to figure it out is that you can't always just figure it out. Yeah. That when you get to that point in your life, that's a good day. That you can get some help and you can get to the Word of God and you're not just running off some crazy and just making some decision. We don't always know what's right. Now, what am I saying? God wants what's best for us, but God doesn't force himself upon us. If we're going to make decisions and they come our way, by the way, your decisions don't just affect you. Every decision I make, if I make a bad decision in my life, it'll affect me, but it'll affect my wife. It'll affect my children, and now it can affect my grandchildren. So I've got to be unselfish enough to realize, you know, someone says, you know, it's not about you. It isn't. We're so irritated. Oh, it's my life. Not if you've allowed others to become a part of your life. My life was my life, Brother Pineda, until I got married. Then I shared it with my wife, willingly. So I have no right just to say it's my life anymore. I have children now. I have a responsibility to them. Right. And so our decisions are vitally important. And by the way, the good thing is, and the thing I learned in church is, God can help us to make the right decisions. Amen. But we've got to be willing to follow the things that will help us to make those decisions. Let's all stand together this morning. Thank you for listening.